Felicitaties
Mare,
de Fomus,
Tam,
Her,
Manuin,
the daughter of Manu,
Samanavata,
fully devoted,
Deva,
and Providence,
Gariyasa,
who was greater,
Patyu,
from the husband,
Asasana,
expecting,
Mahasisa,
Great blessings. Alina Buyasa.
Long time.
Shama.
Deep.
Karsita.
Emasir.
Vratakari.
Religious observances.
Prema.
With
love.
Gargadaya.
Stamina.
Vacha.
With a voice.
Pidita.
Overcome.
Kripaya.
With compassion,
appropriate,
permissive,
with the translation.
The daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than Providence. Thus, she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to her religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardamana, the foremost of celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love. The brief translation. So, please listen attentively. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The wife is expected to be of the same category as the husband. She must be prepared to follow the principles of the husband, and then there will be happy life. If the husband is a devotee and the wife is materialistic, there cannot be any peace in the home. The wife must see the tendencies of the husband and must be prepared to follow him. From Mahabharata, we learn that when Gandhari understood that her would-be husband, Dhritarashtra, was blind, she immediately began to practice blindness herself. Thus, she covered her eyes and placed a part of a blind woman. She decided that since her husband was blind, she must also act like a blind woman. Otherwise, she would be proud of her eyes and her husband would be seen as inferior. The word Samanavrata indicates that it's a duty of a wife to adopt the special circumstances in which the husband is situated. Of course, if the husband is as great as Kardama Muni, then a very good result occurs from following him. But even if the husband is not a great devotee like Kardama Muni, it is the wife's duty to adopt herself according to his mentality. That makes married life very happy. It's also mentioned herein that by following the strict vows of a chaste woman, Princess Devahuti became very skinny and therefore her husband became compassionate. He knew that she was a daughter of a great king and yet was serving him just like an ordinary woman. She was reduced in health by such activities and he became compassionate and addressed her as well. What did she say? What did he say? The daughter of Manu, who was fully devoted to her husband, looked upon him as greater even than Providence. Thus, she expected great blessings from him. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated due to religious observances. Seeing her condition, Kardama, the foremost of the celestial sages, was overcome with compassion and spoke to her in a voice choked with great love.
He is going to speak the verses, next few verses.
Om Agyana Temarantasya Nana Jana Shalakaya Chakshu Pamitam Veta Kamashu Sri Chaitanya Banobhisthan Sathitamena Kutana Swayam Kuti Padamatam Padatisa Padamatam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Sri Advaita Gadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna. This verse and the previous verses that is talking about how an ideal wife has to deal with her husband, which is very important for this Dainijan. Very, very practical tips for this Dainijan. Or this kind of age, you know, where there is quarrel and hypocrisy and, you know, disturbances, everything is there. It's a very ideal verses we have come across. We will talk that in a minute. And so before we proceed further, let us see the background, right? Because some of you may not be attending Bhagavatam every day, maybe listening. But just to give a background of what has led to this event, you know, what are we discussing now? Now, Vidura, a great devotee of the Lord, he inquires from Maitreya Muni about the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. Right? Manu lifespan is very, very huge. Right? You know how we have got, we are in Kali Yuga. Correct? Anyone disagree with that? Kali Yuga. Now there are four yugas: Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali. Right? Kali Yuga span itself is 432,000 years. Times two is Dwapara. Times three is Treta. Times four is Satya Yuga. Now all these combined is known as one Divya Yuga. Now, Swayambhuva Manu's lifespan is 71 Divya Yuga. Can you imagine? Not 71 years. People don't even live for 71 years now. Not at all. Imagine 71 Divya Yugas. And throughout his life, he was Krishna conscious. He didn't take Krishna conscious very lightly. Right? He took a very whole family of Krishna conscious. 71 Yuga lifespan. Imagine. But he not even live for 70 years. Why can't he take it so serious? We will see that, okay, the sequences. So Swayambhuva Vidura inquires from Maitreya Muni about the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu. Because they are not very great personalities to know about, right? We are not talking about, you know, prime minister or a politician or anyone, you know. We are talking about great personalities who has come the lineage down the line of Krishna and Brahma, right? So, as he was talking, he was saying, Maitreya Muni was saying, commanded by Lord Brahma, Kardama Muni is also a son of Lord Brahma, right? Commanded by his father to beget children into this world, right? So, what Kardama Muni did was, he did a penance or austerities for 10,000 years. You don't even have a lifespan, right? Because that is in Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, people live for 100,000 years. 100,000 years. In Treta Yuga, during the time of Rama, people live for 10,000 years. In Dwapara Yuga, people live for 1,000 years. In Kali Yuga, 100. Each one divided by 10. 100,000 divided by 10 is 10,000. 10,000 divided by 10 is 100. 1,000. 1,000 divided by 10 is 100 years, and later on you can see where the Kali will be very much, you know, terrifying at that age. At the time, the lifespan will be only 10 years, 100 divided by 10. So in 10 years, people will become married, they become grandfather, grandmother. So at the time, they'll say, oh, people live for 70 years. It's a very big lifespan. So before getting children into this world, great munis, yogis, sages, they used to meditate on the Lord. Because getting children into this world is not like, you know, Srila Prabhupada says, not like getting cats and dogs. We want children of high caliber because we are bringing children into the society. You know what I mean? And they are the future citizens. Right? It is so important that in the Vedic system says that one has to bring a Krishna conscious child into the world. Because if you see all these children now, they're just playing with the games and all that, you know. No one wants to chant Krishna's name. Because we have to see the conception of the child, it is very, very important at the time, you know, the union between man and woman takes place. It's very, very important. Those days people followed that. I don't know now how people are following that. But it's very important that one should understand that. So Karma Muni thought, yes, I want to, because Brahma, my father, has ordered me to get children into this world, to populate, you know, that's a Sati Yuga, because population is thin. Like Australia wants to increase the population, right? So they're encouraging migrants to come into Australia. So in the same way, Brahma said, I don't want migrants, you produce. We want localites, you know. So Kalama Muni thought, okay, in order for me to get very good child, I have to be pure, right? If I am not pure, how can I expect my children to be pure? Right? So one, he has to set an example. So Kalama Muni thought, let me meditate for 10,000 years, right? And get the blessings of the Lord, and then I will get married, and then I will have children. In that way, my children will be glorious, and you see that in the future, right? Descendants. So, Kardama Muni was meditating for 10,000 years. Now, pleased with his prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha, came to him. And he said, Kardama, the God is answering. I am pleased with your prayers. And the Lord appeared in his transcendental form. Right? Our form is material. Right? Why material? Because our soul is spiritual, body is matter. We are made up of matter. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, falls below. Our mind, wonderful mind, that's also matter. Krishna explains, Bhumi apo nalo vayu, kam mano buddhi evacha, ahamkar iti amme, dinna prakriti asa. So the body is made up of 8 material elements. What's the big deal about it? Earth, water, fire, air, ether is a gross body. Mind, intelligence, falls below is a subtle body. What's the big deal about it? The body is created. It will be there for some time. It will be destroyed. You are the soul. The soul is spiritual in nature. And it's fragmentary part of the Lord. So, Karma Muni meditated. And the Lord came in his transcendental form. The form of the Lord is not material. Krishna's body does not have flesh and bones and like us, you know. He doesn't do any surgery or no fracture for it. Krishna's body is made up of Satchitananda. Satch means eternal. Chit means full of knowledge and ananda, happiness, bliss. So when you chant Krishna's name, you should feel happy. That's how it is. Ananda. If you touch him, if you contact him through his name or eat his prasadam, you will feel happy. That's the nature of the Lord. It depends on the association. Srila Prabhupada says, if you want to become a smoker, you associate with a smoker. If you want to practice drinking, alcoholism, you associate with a person who is drinking. So you associate with a devotee, you get good character. Right? So you associate with Krishna, who is godly, so you get godly character. That's why this moment of Krishna consciousness is set up, right? By associating with Krishna, you develop godly character. Not material character, like lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, attachment, illusion. They are all material qualities. There is nothing to talk about us, you know, material quality. Everyone knows, you know, we have got, we may not have great extent, but we have got lust, enjoyment, propensity, anger. Suddenly the anger, we don't have any will come. Right? It is there in everyone's, like a fire stored in wood. We don't know when it will come. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride. That is why one has to chant Krishna's name for purification. Without chanting the Lord's holy name, one's mind cannot be purified. You can try. This mind is internal. It needs cleaning. So the Lord came in his transcendental form And said Kardama, I am very, very happy. The Lord said a statement. He said, those who have given everything to me, their life will never be frustrated. Krishna says, if you give anything to Krishna, your life will never be frustrated. He says, those who give everything to me, I make sure that their life is never frustrated. They will reach my abode, my planet, and they live happily with me. The Lord is saying to Kardama, you know, to us. So, Kardama Muni offered his obeisances to the Lord because he's seeing the Lord face to face. Imagine, like you and me, face to face Lord. And Kardama Muni asked Lord, Lord, I've been asked by my father, you know, to beget children. Now, please, my desire is to have a wife of like disposition. It's very important that husband and wife, you know, they should have a similar mentality. That's what Srila Prabhupada talks in the purport. Right? I want a wife of similar disposition so that I can carry out the orders of my father. Then Krishna assured him, don't worry, Kardama. I have already organized from Swayambhuva Manu, from Swayambhuva Manu's daughter, right? And you can accept her as your life partner. Devahuti, her name is Devahuti. Because Lord's desire is to get, you know, Brahma's, see, Lord's desire is Brahma's desire. Brahma's desire is transferred to Kardama Muni's desire. Kardama Muni wants to do. So in other words, Kardama Muni is acting on the desire of the Lord. So the Lord has already made arrangement. Okay? Because what we normally think is, we think we are the owner of our life. You know, we know how to do it. I know. I will do it. This is not the way. The Vedic system says, Krishna is a controller. He knows better than what he wants, what he has to do with your life, than you. Because most of the time we don't know. We do something and later on we regret. Oh, you have done a mistake. You know? So Krishna knows better than us. So why can't you know, we follow Krishna consciousness, leave it to Krishna to decide what he wants. Because with our tiny mind, tiny intelligence, what can you think? What can you think with your tiny brain? You know, we don't know what other people are thinking. What can we decide? We don't know ourselves fully, you know. So we leave it to Paramatma. Let the Lord decide. That's what Kardama Muni being a devotee. All the devotees think like that. Right? So Kardama Muni being a devotee, he left it to Krishna. You please choose me a wife for me. I don't want to look into the internet and get a wife of my choice. Leave it to Krishna. Let him decide what he wants. So, Krishna assured, don't worry, Kardama. I have already organized Swayambhuva Manu's daughter to you. They will come and approach you. Then later, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife. Swayambhuva Manu is not only a king, big emperor. A king is for the world. An emperor, right, is for the whole universe. Swayambhuva Manu is a king of the universe. Just imagine. Just imagine how powerful he is, you know. We have to imagine sometimes. That's why Krishna has given the mind, right? Sometimes to think how big is his position. Now he is coming to a hermitage to see Kardama Muni. So Swayambhuva Manu with his wife and his big troop, they came with their daughter, Devahuti, to the hermitage of Kardama Muni. And she said, Kardama, I know you are a Brahmana, you know, well-qualified Brahmana. Now I want to give my daughter to you in marriage, right? Do you want to accept her? He said. Then Swayambhuva Manu also said that my daughter, see, those days you should not think that Vedic life means people are forced, go and marry him. It's not like that. He is telling, what has happened? My daughter had heard your good qualities from Narada Muni. Your transcendental qualities, because someone is a devotee, their character will improve actually. They have good qualities. So he said, my daughter had heard your good qualities from Narada Muni, and since then she has fixed her mind on him, on you, Kardama Muni. So my daughter's wish, a suggestion is also that she wants to marry Kardama Muni. So would you please accept her? And Kardama Muni said, yes, I'm very lucky, you're an emperor. You are offering your daughter to me, I will accept that. But one condition. What's the condition? He said, once after the marriage is over, definitely, you know, there will be a family life, children will be there. Right? After the children has grown up, I want to take up a life of renunciation. Because I don't want to keep on enjoying till my last death, till the body drops dead, keep on, you know, circulating, you know, in the family life. I don't want to do that. I know after my child, you know, children, they're capable of, you know, after finishing responsibilities, I want to take a life of renunciation, a path of Krishna consciousness, thinking of the Lord, so that when I die, I have a good chance of going back to God. Then Swayambhu Manu said, okay, I accept that, because you're not leaving like that. It's not that marriage getting and then running away. It's not like that. Taking responsibility, yes, you say that you take the responsibility, and once on the children are okay, take up a life of renunciation, that's fine. So he gladly accepted and gave a qualified daughter to the equally qualified Kardama Muni, and he left. We are talking about the background. We have not come to the verse yet. We are giving the background. Now, note, Devahutis is not a simple lady. Extraordinary qualities. She's extraordinarily beautiful. You can't even imagine how beautiful she is. For example, when Devahuti, see, before, and I was just wondering, Devahuti was, you know how she is a father of an emperor, you know? She has a big palace, and on the top of the palace, she was playing volleyball or something. With their friends. So, mind you, that's why the tennis has come. I was thinking, how come ladies play tennis? No, ladies, that time they were playing games. So that has led to Kali Yuga tennis. But she was playing volleyball. At that time, on Gandharva. Gandharva means, you know, they have a power to float in the air with the aeroplanes. You know, very powerful people. Narada Muni was a Gandharva once upon a time. Right? Singing, you've got so much power, you know. You can travel, you know, with a flight anywhere and all that. As he was traveling, he looked at the beauty of Devahuti and he lost the control of his flight and he fell down. Just imagine, this is the beauty of Devahuti. Very, very beautiful. Almost like an incarnation of Lakshmi Devi. You can't compare the beauty there. You know what I mean? This is beauty internally and externally. Now one may have a beauty externally. But that's, you know, flesh and blood. But internal beauty is also compassion, affection, tolerance. So beautiful. So, ever since her father left, parents left, the parents of Devahuti left. Devahuti did not care herself. She was serving her husband very intimately, respectfully, and with love. This is what has happened now. Because she served her husband in a very nice way, she forgot about herself. Sometimes we have come to experience, right? When we go on the internet, we serve the internet so nicely, we forget ourselves. How about that? But here Devahuti is serving her husband very nicely. And so she forgot herself completely. And she became weak. What is the husband doing? The husband is not taking her to the movie or to the one day cricket match. The husband is engaged in the service of the Lord. So the wife is engaging also in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada says, what is a duty? You husband, Srila Prabhupada says, a chaste wife has to be faithful to the husband and help him out to carry out his Krishna conscious duties. Other duties, anyone can do that. It's not a big deal. Anyone can, you know, go and work and, you know, get money. It's not a big deal. But the wife has to help the husband in Krishna consciousness. But then the husband has to be elevated. And then the wife has to support. Now that is a system, Vedic system we follow. Right? Now everything is going, you know, opposite, other side. You know? Everyone supporting us, material, money. You know? Money is important. But Krishna consciousness is the highest. And then slowly, you know, if spiritual strength is there, the material thing will follow. It's not a big deal. So this is the background. Okay? Here we see how this verse, 4 and 5, right? There we see Devahuti was serving her husband very nicely, okay? And because of it, she became weak. She forgot herself. And look at the verse I was just seeing. The translation. Having served him for a long time, she grew weak and emaciated. Emaciated means weak. thin, becoming thin due to lack of food, whatever it may be. That's what the dictionary says. So she's become weak. For a long time she served. The Bhagavatam says long time means, you know, Bhagavatam standard. It is not one day or something. It could be, I would guess, a couple of years or something, even more than that. Okay? Sometimes we have this, right? In a Janmashtami or something, fasting, we fast only some 8 hours or something, and we'll say really hungry, we will feel weak, and we think as if we have not eaten for 100 days, you know, oh, today I'm fasting. We'll tell this to everyone, you know that, today Janmashtami, I'm fasting. Janmashtami means you have to fast. You know, I'm fasting, he's really hungry, but still I manage something. You know? You make a big fuss. This is Kali Yuga body. You know what I mean? Anything, you know, they can't tolerate it. The nature of the body is like, what can you do? You know, those people have lot of, you know, power and, you know, tolerance. No tolerance. Washing machine, mixie is there. So why people have got tolerance? You know, everything is machine, you know. Those days and people used to do it, so they used to maintain the health. Now, you know, that's why so many problems and mechanization. Okay, so I was just thinking, it is a very long time, she grew weak, you know. And then Kardama Muni is also affectionate to the husband, affectionate to the wife. And she inquired her very affectionately and kindly, with compassionate nature, the compassionate. Now, we will move on to the lecture. Now, this is a background. Now, I was just thinking, Devahuti's lamentation, the chapter says, and I was thinking, Devahuti is, of course, an exalted lady, lady's lamentation. So, Srimad Bhagavatam has allocated one chapter for lady's lamentation. Because we are talking about Krishna and Krishna's devotees and all that, because she's a devotee, but lamentation of a lady, one chapter is allocated. What's the reason? So I was just going through this chapter. At the end of the chapter, Devahuti's realization has been said. You know what's the realization? Right? Okay. Before that, in this chapter, it says how Devahuti got a husband. He was happy. She was happy. Happy married life. And then she had children. And the children growing and all that. It's said that. Now later on, when the children grew up and all that, when the husband was about to leave the home, Devahuti was lamenting. Listen, my husband, because she has lived with him for a while, right? Now he knows the nature of the husband. Now my husband is not an ordinary person. He has seen Lord Krishna personally. And he has got transcendental qualities. I did not realize that. I took him for granted like any other husband who is going to give me children. I did not understand his transcendental qualities. Right? So even though I got a husband who is transcendentally situated, I could have easily got free from the material bondage. I could have stopped my birth, death, old age, disease. This is a problem of life. Our problem of life is not money, not job, or not insurance. What is your life? Birth, death, old age, disease. The body is constantly changing, whereas the soul is not changing. At the time of death, the body dies, it's buried, the soul goes and takes another body. This is what Krishna is saying there. So birth, death, old age, disease. So someone will say, what's a big deal? I'm in Australia this year, this birth. Fine. Next birth, what's the guarantee that you're going to be in Australia? You may be in South Africa. And what's the guarantee that you're going to be a human being? When in the human being, you know that you're a spirit soul. And all the faculties are given to perform Krishna consciousness. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The body and the soul can be separated any time. This minute, next minute. So if you're not Krishna conscious, what is the guarantee? Very, very important. You should not take it very lightly. Very serious. Once you be chanting Krishna's name, any time, the body and the soul can leave. It's body's matter. It consists of only organs, you know. We are talking about big deal about that. What is a body? It's got a heart pumping blood. It's got a stomach for digestion. It's got a kidney. And liver. That's it. What is big deal about this body? So it's just functioning mechanically, you know. Like a machine, washing machine. It can stop any time. And what are you going to regret? You cannot even take any money, your house. $1 million. Next birth, if you say, I was in Australia, I've got an account in Commonwealth, $1 billion, this is my signature. They'll say, they call you, you know, to the police. This person has got something, you know. You know the money, but you cannot take it. So everything material is temporary. Spiritual is permanent. If you do service to Krishna, you can take back that to the next birth. Krishna says, Svarpa abhyasya dharmasya dayato mahatabhava. Little bit of service you do to Krishna, 1%, next birth you get a human form, and you can start from that. 2%, see? What a good deal Krishna is giving, you know. Anything you do to Krishna is not a waste.
Okay.
So, Devahuti was saying, even though I got a husband of transcendental qualities, he has seen Lord Vishnu, I could have sought bondage, liberation, but instead, I went for a family life. Normally, people regret only after something they've done a mistake, right? Our mind is like that. We will never know, we will never think before doing a mistake that it's a mistake. Only after doing a mistake, not only once, 5 times we do. And then, I've done a mistake. 5th time they will strike us. This is our Kali Yuga prayer. Intelligent person, once they do a mistake, not even once they do. They know through the scriptures they transcend. Other person, they do mistake once. A foolish person keeps on doing the mistake, they never learn. So we should be sharp by getting spiritual intelligence. So this is the lamentation I was thinking. And then, one more, the characteristics of that, Tardama Muni and Devahuti, which we are discussing here, is both were spiritual. They were spiritual before marriage, and they are spiritual after marriage. So it was easy for them to continue. So it's always better, right? If you go any state, and if you're changing your ashram, like from Grahastha to, from Brahmacharya to Grahastha, and Grahastha to Vanaprastha, any change of ashram, it's better that one is spiritual, you know what I mean? It's not that you change the ashram just like that. So a Brahmachari, if he proposes to marry, you know, that helps them to continue their life in Krishna consciousness. So it would be easier. So both are spiritual. So they had the same mentality, you know, same category. And hence, they were living very happily. Because in their life, Krishna is the center. They are not the center. In the materialistic life, who's in the center? I know. I will decide. I am mine. But in the transcendental life, or in Krishna consciousness, who's in the center? Bhagavan is in the center. Leave it to Bhagavan. So both were spiritual. You know, they lived a transcendental life. Right? Then, the other thing which is mentioned here, Srila Prabhupada says, is that Devahuti was a daughter of an emperor. Again, she was not proud. After marriage, imagine a girl from a king, like a prime minister's daughter, coming and working, you know, as a cleaner. Just imagine that. Right? Because our comprehension, we cannot understand this Vedic script culture, you know, very, it's like an ant trying to understand Mount Everest. Is it possible for an ant to understand Mount, is it possible? No. So we trying to understand is very, very difficult. So we can understand practical example. Like a daughter of a prime minister marries a cleaning operator and she's cleaning with him. Like that. Such an exalted position she has come and working. So she was not at all proud because her brought up was like. Right? Swayambhuman is a great devotee of Krishna. The 71 life cycles, he was constantly, you know, morning he'll get up, eat chai. He'll offer food to Krishna. His family was Krishna conscious. And then he went back to God. This was a likely way. So it was very easy for her. She was not proud, Devahuti. Let us mention the Srila Prabhupada also. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, our Acharya, you can say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is on the far right, you know, the chanting bee. He is one of our Acharya. He says that husband and wife relationship, right? It should be such a way that husband and wife both should take up Krishna conscious and they should convert the house into a temple. He said that husband and wife both have to be Krishna conscious And they should come convert the temple, convert the home or house into a temple. And they do everything as per the Shastra. Then the married life will be definitely to be successful. It will be happy. Because here we are talking about the married life, husband and wife, which we see that it is a breakdown in Kali Yuga. So if one wants their married life to be very sweet and happy, put Krishna in the center. Bring the Lord. Put him in the center. And the husband and wife relationship will be good. Why the problem is starting now? Why the problem is erupting Kali Yuga? Because both wants to be in the center. See, husband and wife relationship, right? It is, there is a relationship, right? Husband and wife. The husband has to do his part. And the wife has to also do the part. Right? But now what's happening in Kali Yuga? Each one is telling the other what they have to do. How they will be? So definitely there will be a problem, right? Each one has to do the part. And then it will be a collective effort, you know. But each one is telling the other what they should do. That's why it's breaking down. Even in the Vedic, as you see, Devahuti was given freedom to select her husband. In the Vedic life, freedom was given to ladies. Mataji is a woman actually. Freedom was given. And she chose, you know, because Narada Muni has said about the good qualities of Kardama Muni, and since then she was meditating on her mind was meditating Kardama Muni to marry. So she had a free will to choose. So free will was given. Even in the Vedic times, you should not think that Vedic time means, okay, a lady is forced to marry someone. No, it's not the case. But why it has changed now? Why people have a misconception? Because of the foreign rule. Because of Mughals, suppression of the Indian culture by the Mughals and then the Britishers. Right? And they suppress the nature of the ladies. This is due to the outside issue, it's not local. Because in the Vedic scripture, it is said that a wife is Ardhangi. What is Ardhangi? Ardhangi means part, half of the body. Can I function with one hand? Say, I imagine my body with one hand, one leg, and one part of the body. Can I function? No. I need other part. So according to the Vedic scriptures, husband and wife, their other part, you know, complementing each other. As how a part of the body cannot sustain, in the same way, husband and wife, you know, are meant to live in a uniform way, happily, keeping Krishna in the center. Also, we see that in the spiritual domain, men and women all are same because they're all children. They're all sons and daughters of the same family, like Krishna. So, hence, even the Vedic scripture also, men and women are treated as same. But materially, they're considered as different. But spiritually, both are same. So I was just thinking, this episode of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, it was mentioned in Satya Yuga, right? How a daughter of a king has come and served sage in the hermitage. Now this I was just going through, I was just thinking that even in other yugas also this has happened. In Treta Yuga, Sita Devi, right? She was also a princess basically. Now she was serving Rama when they were in exile, you know, was serving Rama. So she exhibited that quality in Treta Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, Draupadi was serving five husbands when they were in exile, incognito. Right? That was also carried out. But in Kali Yuga, it is not possible because there is no forest anywhere. Even if there is forest, it is uninhabited, right? So you cannot do that. So the best thing is husband and wife can live together, keeping Krishna in the center. Then the married life will be alright. Okay. One need not have to go to the forest. just thought, okay, we'll continue with the story, you know, which has some, it's a good story, I thought. I will tell you. And then we will see the model, and that may conclude this lecture. Because it's talking about the relationship between husband and wife. Okay? So I just thought, you know, I'll tell you this, we'll share this story. So once there was a rich miser, right? Rich person who's miser, you know, he doesn't spend money. Now he had an issue with the family life. So he came to the priest, you know, a temple priest, and he wanted to share his problems, right? So why do someone else go to the temple priest? Why can't they go to a psychologist or something? Because the Vedic scripture, the Vedic culture, a person who's got any problem, he will seek the advice of the priest who's a Brahmana, you know? Because Brahmana means that he's got intelligence and he's also, you know, Krishna conscious, God conscious. So he'll be able to give good advice. So he went to the priest and he told his tale of suffering. He said, do you know that I'm constantly harassed in my house by my wife? You know, she's discriminating me, torturing me. I cannot live with my wife. Right? It's too much for me. I'm suffering. Right? So, please, I want you to help me out such that she has to die. Please help me out that she must die because I cannot live without her. Right? I don't want to live without her. I want to die. Then this man thought, what's wrong with this guy? You know? Because probably, you know, this priest would have got them married. That's why he went to him, probably. So I thought, okay. Then this person thought, okay, I have to find something, you know, inner side of it. Right? This can't be like that. Okay. Then he said, okay, I will think about it, ponder about this issue, and I'll come back to you, you know. He said, do anything, but I want my wife to die. Please, you know, I don't mind anything. Because he's rich, right? I can afford any amount of money, but I want my wife to die. Then this priest was thinking, normally what happens, a devotee, when there is a problem themselves, or when they face a problem for themselves or for others, what do they normally do? They decide on themselves immediately. They listen to their mind. What do? They pray to God. Krishna. Immediately, they think of Krishna. Draupadi did that, a lady. So everyone, right? Think of Krishna. So he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, I'm in a very difficult situation. This person has asked me for help. But this is a very serious problem. How can I kill, you know, give an advice for someone, wife to kill, die? Please help me out, Lord. And Lord, who's situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma, he understands. And he wants to help the truthful and sincere devotee. Because Krishna knows everything. You can't cheat Krishna. He knows everything in the present before you could think he knows. So the Lord enlightened him by saying, listen, there should be something wrong with this husband to provoke this lady and to act in such a way that the lady is acting in a very bad manner to the husband. So you find out. Use your intelligence and find out. That's what Krishna normally does. He gives some tips. You work it out. And then more problems come back to you. Krishna doesn't give based on your realization. He gives material. Then, this person was thinking, okay, let me try something, you know. So he sent his faithful servant to the priest. And he said, just find out what's happening. I'm very curious to know. So the servant went in disguise as a beggar. You know what I mean? When normally, you know, the movies and all you see, someone want to find out, you have to go in disguise. Now this guy went as a beggar just to find out what's happening. Now there, when he went, of course, obviously he went when the husband is not there. The rich man has gone out. Now he could hear the wife murmuring, this man, he doesn't even give any money for spending in the house. First of all, he takes all the money. He takes all the credit for himself. One day, not a single day, he spoke good about me. Not one day, right? He did something good to me. Let him come home. I'm going to harass him today also. Now, I just stopped this point here based on personal realization. I don't think everyone might have different, same issues, but my personal realization with my family and wife is that my wife will forgive, pardon everyone. But if I commit a very small mistake, it's never forgotten nor forgiven. I don't know other space. But anyway, we'll continue. Maybe probably in this case also, it could be true, right? We said, no, let this guy come. I will also teach him a lesson today. Then this the servant passed on the message to the priest. The priest was thinking, oh, is this the way? Okay, now I have to devise really a plan to help them out. Okay? Then he said, okay, bring the rich man. Ask him to come, you know, and I'll give him my place. So the rich man come. Yes, master, I've come. Have you got some news for me? He said, yes. He said, the priest said, I went through the scripture. It's a story anyway, so don't try for this. He said, I went to the scripture. I selected a sacred text which says that if you take a vow and you don't fulfill the vow, as a reaction, you have to bury your wife, which means that your wife will die. That's what you wanted, right? He said, yes, 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 exactly. I want my wife to die. I don't mind doing anything. Now you take a vow that we want to build a new kitchen, temple kitchen. Right? Take a vow that you're going to build a new temple kitchen and don't fulfill the vow. And what will happen? You end up, you know, burying your wife, which means your wife is dead and all your problems will be solved. But you take a vow in front of me, a Brahmin, and two others, my assistant. Right? And God knows that you're taking a vow and you're not fulfilling it, and then your wife will die. That will be the end of your problem. He said, this is very good. Now he said, how long did it take? So probably a year. He said, no, you know that I'm struggling so much. Even 1 year I cannot wait. It's too much. You don't know my story. You know, it's too much, too much. My wife is really harassing me. It's too much. Then he said, listen. You take the vow now, and you don't fulfill. And then you will see what it happens, you know. At least it may be ranging anywhere between 1 month to 1 year now. At least it will start working on this. Right? Just take this assurance and you can work on it. So this person said, okay, 1 month, I'm hoping that something will happen. You know? But before he left, the Brahmana called him and he said, listen, 1 minute. Now, your wife is going to die in probably a month's time. Right? Why can't you change your habit and be good to her? All these 4 weeks, 1 month, just listen to her. Because you're a very rich person. Whatever she wants, buy it. Be kind to her, compassionate. Do some love. He said, okay, anyway she's going to die. Let me change a little bit and see the tactics, you know. And he left. 2 weeks later, this man came running to the priest, crying. He said, please withdraw my vow. I don't want my wife to die. I said, what happened? What's wrong with you? You wanted your wife to die. That's why you made a vow. I don't want to die. What happened was, I just followed your advice. Right? I've been very kind to her. I bought whatever she wants. Right? And I'm very compassionate with her. Now, she has really changed. She loves me. She cares for me. She even prays for me. She is an angel now. She's not a demon. So, I don't want my wife to die. Please help me. He said, come on, it's not possible. You've already made a vow. You're going to die. But there's one condition. If you don't want your wife to die, then build a kitchen. Because you're rich. He said, that's okay. I will build the kitchen. And I want my wife to live. So, very happily, he left. Now, what do we learn from this? There are many morals we can take home. Right? One of the morals is, change of attitude, of behavior. See, the husband, right, initially had a notion that the wife is like this and all that. Then later on, he changed his behavior. And then, things were working right. So sometimes, it could be a slight shift in our problems. When we have problems, relationship problems, which we normally do in this material world, because material world is full of turbulence, you know. It's not going to be smooth. Okay? If someone thinks that, you know, they are on the imaginary, they are on the imaginary platform, it's going to be very smooth and Krishna conscious. It's not going to be. Because why it's not going to be? Why it's not going to be smooth? Why the husband and wife relationship is not going to be smooth? Why is that? First of all, two different personalities, right? And when we came into this world, we bring with us a lot of karma. We just tend to overlook that, right? Our conditioning. It's very difficult to change the condition, right? So two different persons are coming with the conditioning, with karma, and we don't know what the karma is. So the karma will pop up. It may not be the greatest extent if you are a devotee, but it will pop up. Whatever mistakes I've done, I have to face the consequences. Because I have done the mistake. I am responsible for my life. So I have to face it also. But if one wants to completely avoid that, one has to be a very serious devotee of the Lord. Completely the spiritual platform. Then you can avoid karma as much as possible. Because the more spiritual one is, the less material problems there. That's what it is. Because understanding of the soul is there, so the bodily problem will be less. The living entity is suffering because of the attachment to the material energy. So if the living entity is attached to the spiritual energy, there's no suffering. Bhagavatam says that. There's actually no suffering in the spiritual energy. There is only suffering in the material energy. If you really analyze that. What suffering is in the spiritual energy? If Krishna is in the center, there is no suffering. The suffering is only in the material energy, in the form of birth, death, old age, disease. If you know you are a spirit soul, and you are working for it, then there is no suffering actually. So, people have to change their consciousness a little bit, and it will be okay. That's what they have to do. Slight change in the consciousness. Because the material world means there will be turbulence. We have got a lot of karmas with that, and it has to act sooner or later. It will act. It will be full of turbulences. So, the more one is serious about Krishna consciousness, the less problems one has. Or materially there are a lot of solutions. Right? There are a lot of solutions. Right? One can divorce, or one can leave the wife and go. But how long it is for? Because the desire is still there. The desire is there, that's why we are coming to this world. The desire to enjoy matter. That's why the spirit soul, why does he want matter? Everything is three modes of mental nature. See, whatever you see is only made up of three modes of mental nature. But there are two things which are spiritual. One is the soul itself, which cannot be realized, which can be realized only by spiritual knowledge. And through that one has to make the transformation. And the only spiritual thing which we can see, is which we can experience, is the holy name. So that is why in this age of Kali, whatever right? Benefit you derive from Sakti Yuga. We spoke about Sakti Yuga, you know, where the lifespan is 100,000 years, right? So whatever benefit you get in Sakti Yuga, right, by meditation, and whatever benefit you get in Treta Yuga by sacrifice, performing Yajna, and whatever benefit you get in Dwapara Yuga by worshipping the Lord, the temple, by worshipping the lotus feet, that can be easily achieved By simply chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Very simple process. And in this process, one can go back to God. Very simple process. Anyone can do that. You can sit anywhere and chant. Those days, you know, one has to go to the forest. Disturbances in the forest are minimal. One has to concentrate. Very difficult process. Kardama Muni did that, you know. He meditated on 10,000 years, you know. And controlling the senses, right, is very, very difficult, right? Very difficult to control the senses. The senses are attracted to the sense object. Krishna explains in the 11th canto. Every minute what's happening, the sense objects are entering into the mind. That's why the mind is constantly disturbed. Whether in office or anywhere, the sense object is constantly entering into the mind. The mind is a container. What does a mind contain? It contains previous memories, previous life experiences, and previous habits. The mind is a big container. It's not a small container. The mind means, you know, it keeps on expanding. It's a logical. You know, as you put in, it keeps on expanding. What does it contain? Life, previous experiences, previous thoughts and memories. It's there, sitting there, doesn't go off. And then, previous habits. So how does it go? And again, it's constantly entering into the container. You see something, it's entering. You hear something, it's entering. Very difficult process. Unless all the senses are used in Krishna service, very difficult to control them. Very, very difficult. Because constantly it's entering into the... So how do you purify? The moment you purify, one day it will be okay. 2 days, one day you don't chant. Again, the mind will be filled up with sense objects. The only way is all the sense objects should be Krishna conscious. Then, yes, mind can be gradually controlled. It's very difficult. What we normally do, you know, we understand we have to work on all that. We do for some time and then we go. Again, the container fills up. Okay, I will stop here. Are there any quick questions, corrections, comments? Gantra Srimad Bhagavan Kita Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Gaura Premanam.